This week on the Media Corps Minute podcast, I sit down with Lincoln, the owner of Lynx Outdoor Services. We talk about what it's like to put 110% into what you do, to never give up, and to know what you want. Guys, this is a good one. Stay tuned. You're going to enjoy it. Lincoln, how you doing today, man?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Good, good. It's a beautiful, what day is it, Tuesday?
Today is Tuesday, yeah.
Beautiful Tuesday, man.
Yeah, it's sunny, a little windy, but definitely sunny.
Yeah, it's sunny. We have a garage, and I was just thinking, man, like today, days like today, I want to just open that up, but I want to have the screen.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know where to get that. I know a couple guys, but I haven't done it yet.
Got to have the screen. Summer project,
Yep, there you that's go. Right. Well, hey, I'm glad that we got this scheduled.
Yeah.
It's been a while, you know. Yeah. You and I have kind of chatted here and there over the years.
Last couple of years, yeah.
Yeah, a little more than recently, and it's been fun to kind of see your journey and company been growing and stuff like that. And
yeah, likewise. I think it was likewise.
Great way that we can kind of connect. And, yeah, share your story. I'm excited because I'm gonna learn a lot too.
Me too.
we've chatted, but I don't know, you know, a lot of the background, but. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, no, it's been one heck of a journey, I will say, to say the least.
Yeah, and just getting started.
Yeah, very just getting started. That's right. And I've got a lot to learn,
Well, before we get into things, I just want you to kind of just tell listeners, you know, what is Lynx Outdoor Services?
So Lynx Outdoor Services focuses on, I would say, 3 to 5 main things. We do landscaping to demolition. I found a good niche in building rock retaining walls.
Yeah.
We do a bunch of land clearing. We partnered up with other tree companies to do partner on some of the harder jobs where some of us are small businesses, so working hand in hand that way. Demolition, land clearing, trees, you know, some site prep here and there.
Yeah.
I've gotten big into, like, some French drain water issues.
Okay.
That's been a pretty huge one, like, the last 2 years especially, French drains. It's definitely a learning
curve. I don't even know what that is. French drain.
French drain. A lot of it has to do with water, you know.
Okay.
American Waterworks is a good company.
Oh, yeah.
And they, you know, they deal with, like, the interior of it. We deal with the exterior of it.
Okay.
So, to try and mitigate or move that water from your backyard, it has no way to get filtered to the front yard.
It's not going into the basement.
Exactly. We try to get it out of your backyard. So it can be a little expensive, but it's worth the investment long term.
Yeah.
So those are the main things, but, you know, it's a work in progress.
And it's kind of cultivated over the years, hasn't it? I mean, you've kind of have been adding and changing, more. And
yeah, you could say that. I mean, that's the thing, too, is, like, at first I was Lynx Handyman Service.
Yeah.
You know, and then I converted over to Lynx Outdoor Service because I wanted to filter my customers to my, you know, what I was good at.
Yep.
And finding those things, it just took me a little bit of time to process that.
Yeah.
And then once I found it, I'm like, this is it. You know, when you know, you know.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So to me, that was huge. Trying to change, like I said, my business model, what we're trying to get at, and honestly too, when you own equipment, the payments and the insurance and the upkeep is far more expensive than to, you know, to fix somebody's window or door. 100%. You know, and I wasn't really good at it, but my grandma always taught me when I was growing up, I was always born with a hammer in my hand because I always liked to be outside doing stuff. And so I kind of took some of that with me and then worked with it, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty much kind of how I did it.
Yeah, I'm excited to kind of dive into the progression of kind of how you did that. But even jumping back on things, you know, obviously you have an entrepreneurial spirit. Were your parents entrepreneurs, business owners, or what was growing up kind of like for you?
Yes and no. Both my parents are from Iowa, so some farm kids.
Yeah.
Lived in, I don't know if you're familiar, but McIntyre or
I've heard of it.
Riceville.
I don't know why, though.
Riceville,
yeah.
Iowa.
Yeah, yeah.
And then on top of it, my dad was in Chester or Cresco area.
Okay.
The family farm was down in Chester, Iowa, which is right on the border of Minnesota. It's, you know, it's literally a skip and a jump away.
Yep.
About a 45-minute drive, so I was pretty close there today, but you know, so they had some farm background. My dad did, my dad has some experience in, what's the word I'm looking for? a lot of helping. He's self-employed, so
okay.
They, you know, mutual funds and you know, 401ks and basically what you
like your financial advisor.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah. I'm not even using the right word.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Financial. He's a financial advisor.
Okay,
100%. Been doing it all of his life. You know, farm kid that went.
So he went from farm kid. To
yep. Moved into to the city. Advisor. Moved to the big city. Yep. And was just. Working with it, right?
Interesting.
It weird concept. I could never do it, but yeah. To each their own, right? And then my mom worked at Mayo for a long time, and then slowly progressed out of Mayo and ended up, they owned a group home.
Okay.
So I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Uh-uh.
So obviously, when you get old, you got to go somewhere, right? Yep. So when people get overwhelmed, they just don't know what to do. Well, that was the perk of my parents' house is they took our massive house that we had. So from where my old house was, down the road was my parents' house. That's where
yep.
I grew up.
Yep.
And so we had an seven to eight bedroom house given the time of the year.
Wow.
At one point. My grandma lived with us for like almost 20 years, I think, before she passed away.
Oh, wow.
And so I grew up with a grandparent in my house like pretty much all my life. And so my mom took that and helping people, and they brought it to a home-like feeling, you know, because at the end of the day, when you get old, like, you obviously care for your loved ones, and you don't want them to, you know, obviously pass away or whatever, you know, okay. However that goes. But how can you care for them? And
yeah.
So my parents took that, brought it in the house, you know, tender, loving care. They had staff 24 hours a day, whether it was day or night, and basically ran their, you know, a group home in their own house.
I didn't know that. That's
yeah,
crazy.
almost 10 years they did it. So they just sold it the first of the year.
Okay.
And they just bought their, I don't know if it's their retirement house, but that's where I was working at today.
So okay, yep.
It's kind of a full circle there, but
yeah.
Know, trying
so definitely to, definitely a little bit of the, you know, entrepreneurial spirit.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. For sure. Kind for of sure.
Getting after it. Yep. Doing things.
No, for sure.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I can't complain.
Yeah. For you, so you kind of grew up in this area then?
Yep, Rochester. Yep. No.
Where'd, going to school, things like that?
I went to Rochester Central Lutheran School,
okay.
Which is a Christian school over on Elton Hills Drive.
Yeah.
My parents wanted us to have a pretty good education growing up, which when I was a kid, I didn't really think much of it. But then
feel like none of us appreciate that.
No, we definitely didn't. So as I grew older, I very much learned to appreciate the things that I had in life. You know, being a little kid, I was always probably just a spoiled little brat at that point. But as I grew older and realized the benefits of what it taught me and the teachers and the staff and the one-on-one help that you would never get, you know, at a normal high school or middle school,
yep. Yep.
You know, I was given all that, not to mention a little bit of the Christian background.
Absolutely.
It's an experience, you know, now I plow their snow.
Okay.
So then again, too, you know, it's a full circle yep. essentially, but, I have, you know, I have teachers that I still talk to that were, you know, my kindergarten teacher I've talked to here, and I forget how old she is, but super, super nice lady. You know, and she was my kindergarten teacher,
yeah.
And I still talk to her till this day. So just to see, you know, what in 25, 30 years, you know, a person can experience is, you know, pretty, pretty neat. So,
yeah. Cause how old are you again?
I'm 29.
I'm 29.
Okay. So yeah, we're the same age.
No, it's funny. The full circle thing. I mean, I've experienced that even with our business. Cause like the elementary school that we grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Jake and I.
Okay.
He's three years younger than I.
Okay. Yep.
We've now worked with them. We've worked with RCTC here
yep.
in town.
Yep.
So it's kind of funny. We've worked with like the schools that we've you know, even grown up.
Oh, exactly. And then you yeah. get a different perspective on something when you're obviously a lot older too. You know, for mm-hmm. me, as a business perspective, I'm like, how can I provide like the same experience that they provided me growing up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they gave me an education that I'll forever be grateful for. And, you know, who I am today as a person is literally where I'm, you know, I mean, other than my parents and
yeah.
my upbringing, like the school system alone and having that, you know, good Christian background, like
yep.
that literally probably formed me to who I am today.
That's huge. Yeah,
yeah huge, super yep. huge. And I'm, like I said, very thankful and very appreciative of what I've been, you know, given the opportunity to and
yeah.
go from there, so.
So did you go to college?
I did not.
Didn't?
I wouldn't even call it school. So I graduated from Mayo High School
okay.
because my Christian school stops at eighth grade.
Yep.
I went from ninth to 12th Mayo High School. And then my parents kind of gave me three options. They gave me the, I wouldn't say the hard options, but they wanted me to do something ideally with my life, right? Well, I'm not your traditional, like, you know, class student, however you want to call it. I didn't pay attention in school. I actually got in trouble a little bit in school.
Yeah.
And I proceeded to, I almost flunked out of like ninth grade, so it was pretty rough. But I did a domestic Peace Corps.
Yeah.
If you're familiar.
Uh-uh.
It's called AmeriCorps.
Okay.
So basically 8 to 12 individuals are paired on a team. You travel, you're stationed out. There's 5 stations in the United States. They pick and tell you where you're going to go.
Yeah.
And the 2 things that I wanted to do in my life was either be a firefighter or disaster relief.
Okay.
So I had to basically pick what I wanted to do. My parents gave me 3 options. They're like, you can go to school to be a firefighter and we'll help you through the way. Get a job, which I've always had a job, so yep. At any point, but that and pay rent.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, I'm 18 years old and broke. I don't want to pay rent.
Yeah.
And then the last option was join the AmeriCorps, which I'd already looked into it a little bit. And that was focusing on disaster relief. Well, obviously, I like helping people. So I toured a couple fire station or fire schools.
Yep.
I was pursuing it, but I knew I struggled academically in book related stuff. So yep. How can I get around that hump? So I chose the uncomfortable situation and I flew to California. I was stationed in Sacramento for 10 months, literally right out of high school. Mm-hmm. I was homesick, like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, I bet.
I called my mom one day. I was in Oregon when I was out at one of my stations and I'm like, I need food. Like this is not my lifestyle. This is not who I am.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm ready to come home. But at the end of the day, like my parents didn't really, they always taught me not to give up. So,
right.
So we did, that was the thing. We did service projects anywhere from 4 weeks to 8 weeks or 10 weeks. I worked with, up in Oregon, we saved the butterflies, which I can tell you right now, that's not my forte, but I did it. We pulled,
you seem like that kind of
guy. Yeah, exactly. I pulled invasive plants out in Northern California, and I got poison oak. I went to the hospital 4 times, had to get shots. That was not enjoyable. We tented the whole time. No cell service where we lived. It was miserable.
Wow.
I worked with at-risk youth kids in the Crenshaw High School, if you're familiar with that. And the worst part of South LA, as you can imagine.
Dang.
One of the 2 worst gang rival schools of all of South LA. That was an eye-opening experience.
Yeah.
It makes you appreciate, then again, too, what we had back here at home. I'm like, man, my education here to there, there's no comparison.
Dang.
And then my last tour was in Montana. We were at a small gold rush town in Montana. And basically, that was like my niche.
Montana's cool.
Montana was beautiful. That's a great spot. And I'm not like, to me, I could never live there full time because I like the city vibe a little bit. It's easy. Let me rephrase that.
Okay.
I like to be able to go to Menards and only have to drive 10 minutes.
Yes.
I don't like to drive an hour to go get, milk and eggs. I'm sorry. I just don't. So the convenience was, here to there was different. And us, it was 15 miles to the local gas station out there. But the countryside, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. The people, phenomenal. During the day, there's only about 100 locals. But then all the tourists, it was a tourist town.
Yeah.
So then during the tourist day, you could get 1,000 to a couple thousand people a year. I actually just revisited it like 3-4 years ago.
Dang.
During 4th of July. They have one of the most phenomenal 4th of July fireworks shows I've ever seen in my life. So I actually drove out there by myself and just vibed for a couple days out
That's
there.
That's great.
But, service projects, but that was the other thing too. If we ever got called on a natural disaster, we would be a first responder to a natural disaster.
So you just pick up and go.
Literally, and they knew that going into it.
Yeah.
At any given point, Hurricane Katrina happens.
Yep.
We get called to get in, and we're gone. We're on our way to go help people, and that's just what I was passionate about.
Yep.
But then we never got called, which I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
Because there was no natural disaster at that time. But at the end of the day, it's like, that's literally what I signed up for.
Yeah.
So jump forward from there. Then I came home and my parents actually made me, I already had a job lined back up. And when I got back, my parents were like, you got to take just a week off before you get back to work.
Yeah.
I was so homesick.
So how long was that?
That was 10 months.
Okay.
So I literally graduated high school.
Yep.
The government shut down.
Yep.
I was supposed to leave in September. I didn't leave till October.
Okay.
And then I got back like late July, I believe. I think it was late July.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you know derby cars. I'm a big derby guy.
Yep.
And so my parents told me I had to take a week off. I already had the job lined up. I mean, I was calling them before I was even leaving California saying, I hope you're ready for me because I'm ready to make some money. Because basically AmeriCorps was pretty much a charity event in my eyes. I didn't make very much money. It barely covered my cost of living, if anything. It was basically all volunteer work at that.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked, well, I did a Christian camp for a year.
Okay.
And I did grounds, basically maintenance.
Yep.
You know, mowing.
Which is what we, you know, which is what I'm good at. Exactly.
Which is fun.
I mean, oh, it is.
That's always what I've grown up doing. You know, my first office job wasn't until I was like, you know, 20 something.
it's a different, you know.
Always, yeah, yeah, it's always it's a different
workforce. Yeah.
But I remember we were doing, you know, no one works at a Christian camp to make money.
Right, no.
But I was like, I think we were putting in like 14-hour days, you know, working probably 6 days a week. And I think my pay was like $50 a week.
Yep, and I made $300 a month.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was the scrape. And I had
you were making more than I was.
Right. But I had a $100 car payment a month, too. So I had to, you know, I was basically making the same as you were at that point, $200 a month, you know, $50 bucks a week. It was.
But you don't do that stuff, obviously, for the money.
Exactly. And the experiences and the people that I knew. I mean, I was 18, 19 when I did it. One of my friends from Vermont, she's actually getting married this summer, who I've been out there twice now to see her. I have friends all over the United States.
Yeah.
You know, to say 10 years later, I still talk to those people. That's, I mean, I don't even talk to a lot. I mean, I still talk to some of my middle school friends here and there, but I think I talk to these people a lot more than I did my middle school friends. Yeah. So it's just cool to meet, you know, the connections that you make. And
it is.
And like I said, I dreaded the first 8 months out of that whole deal. But then once I hit Montana, it was night and day difference. I mean, the people that we met, the culture, my team, we vibe really well.
Yeah.
You know, and that made the 2 months that I was there made up for the whole rest of
that's
it.
That's great.
You know, so that's, you know, same thing with my childhood, you know. Mm-hmm. I dreaded going to school every day because it was a different, you know, lifestyle.
Yep.
But now looking back 10, 15, 20 years later, like I'm glad that, you know, I almost wish my kids would do that, you know, to see the same lifestyle that I did because I'm very, you know, thankful for what I have, so.
Hey, you come to appreciate it.
Oh, for sure. Like I said, it's a full circle.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you come back, where do you start working then?
I was at Pepsi for a couple of years.
Okay.
So, and I left before.
Here in town?
Yep, here in town. So before I left for work, before I went to AmeriCorps, I was actually working for Pepsi.
So is that when they were at the old American Waterworks building?
It was. So, and I actually, when I left Pepsi, I left them right before they moved into the new building, like right before.
Okay.
So, yeah, I worked there. And it was funny because when I got the job, I was a part-timer. I was a part-time merchandiser. And so, you know, I was throwing pop cases like it was coming out of style. So I got pretty fit, you know, and since then I've kind of maybe, you know, let that go a little bit. But either way. But when I was doing it, one of the main higher-ups walked into me in the hallway and saw me and said, hey, do you want a full-time job? And I'm like, yeah. Heck yeah, I do, because I want to make more money.
Right.
You know, I was making the bomb of the barrel at $11 an hour part-time. Like, I was making the real money back then, you know, and that's what makes you also appreciate, you know, the money factor, because I've made $10, $8, $10, $11 an hour.
Yeah.
You know, $300 a month. I made the little dollars before, so I know what it's like. And to have somebody come up to me and say, hey, do you want a full-time job? I was like opening arms. I'm like, I wish you would have asked me 6 months ago because I would have said yeah.
Yeah.
And then I walked into my new supervisor's office and the guy that hired me was like, hey, by the way, this is your new warehouse guy. And he's like, what? Like you didn't even call me.
Hired.
So come to find out, I was the only employee that I know of at the time that ever got asked in a hallway if I wanted a full-time job.
That's great.
Everybody that I went through when I was working there all had to go through an interview process, even if they worked at Pepsi already. So I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, shows you your worth, you know.
Yeah.
How hard you work and stuff like
that. Yeah, they see it and they can appreciate that.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah,
that they wanted you on there.
Yep, exactly. So.
So when did you kind of figure out that you wanted to be doing your own thing?
So shortly after Pepsi, I actually did another small business with my cousins.
Okay.
I learned that, you know, family isn't, like, working with family isn't bad, obviously, because you work with your brother. But
there's a lot of different challenges, though.
There very much is so. And there was two of us, there was three of us cousins all working together. It was carpentry work. We were doing steel roofs and all that kind of stuff. And it just, I wasn't really passionate about it, but I was doing it because I was just, I needed something new. Mm-hmm. You know, I did a couple other little stints in between there, but that was like the thing that I did right then and there. And then right after that, it kind of, things kind of fell through. Didn't work out. No big deal. I was trying to figure my life out. But I needed to work, right? So I actually got hooked up with a landscape job in Wanamingo, working for Zumbro Valley Landscaping. And Jesse Steberg, who was one of the owners, he, you know, came in with open arms and gave me a job. And I had a good reference because my foreman ended up going back there to work for him. And then we were, you know, I won't say inseparable, but we, you know, we made money. And I worked there for 4 years, and I learned a lot. And I still, like I said, even today, I still have a lot to learn. But
I'm sure things like that really help play into certain things that you're doing now. Even
Everything I pretty much did then, not everything, but a good majority of it I do now. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so I found just what my niche, and I found what I was passionate about. I became very good in equipment. I like kind of let my arrogance get to me a little bit when I was working there, because I was like, I'm unstoppable. You know, I'm that guy where I don't need to touch a shovel. I'm good in equipment. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's where owning your own business, you now appreciate every aspect of every person on your, you know, on your team for each little thing, you know, whether it's running the shovel or running the equipment or, you know, being a good tender to the late, you know, to whoever, being a team player, like that thing is huge for me, because I learned that when you get cocky or arrogant, when it comes to some of that, like, you got to be able to be a team player. And I, at one point when I worked there, I know for a fact I wasn't. There's 100% I wasn't. I was like, because I got so good at what I was doing, right? I'm like, I don't need to run a shovel. And I'm not going to lie, a little bit, to me, it's a little bit of a union mentality.
Yep.
Because I hear it all the time. You're the laborer, I'm the, you know, I'm a 49er equipment operator, and it's one or the other. And I don't believe in that at all. You know, after I left there and became my own boss again, I realized that, you know, I'm the one that's going to grab the shovel at the end of the day. You know, if there's nobody there with me, it's going to be me doing it. Yep. So yep. I'm going to have to get out of the machine sooner or later. I might as well get out now and just do it, right? So that's, I learned a lot of that as I, you know, developed or started my business from my old job. But, you know, he shaped me into who I was, and they gave me a lot of good insights, and I asked a lot of questions, or I tried to anyways.
Yeah.
You know.
So toward the end there, were you thinking like you were going to probably try to do your own thing next, or was it?
Yes and no. So I've always, since I was a kid, and maybe this goes back into some of my childhood a little bit.
Yeah.
I've always done side work, like since I was literally probably 10 years old. So going back into it, like my business name is Lynx Outdoor Service. So my mom, funny story, my mom used to call me her missing link. So there was four of us kids, and my parents cut the TV cord when I was in fourth grade. And because I wasn't doing my schoolwork, I'd come home and I had a sweet tooth.
Yeah.
I grabbed the candy in the, you know, in the cupboard or any of the snacks that I could get my hands on. And I'd go downstairs and I'd watch TV until dark, until dinner time. We'd eat dinner, and then I would go and watch movies or whatever and just be the, you know, the little shithead, I would say, kid back in the day. So my parents finally said, we've had enough of it, and they cut the TV cord. So from there on out, I literally went and found work to do. I went from neighbor to neighbor. I lived on a dead end road. I mean, you're familiar with behind Jeff's little store there. So I mean, there's probably 20 houses or whatever, and everybody knew who I was. And I would knock every day on somebody's door and ask them, you know,
That's great.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, some were older, some were younger, whatever else. Obviously some of them were still working jobs during the day, but you know, I used to go over to my one neighbor's house, and he would give me Diet Pepsi, and we would watch golf on the weekends. And the two things I hated the most were watching golf and drinking Diet Pepsi. So growing up anyways, you know. But I guess I lost my train of thought there.
No, I mean, that kind of stuff was big, because, I mean, I even did that when I was growing up.
Correct.
I didn't want to – I mean, we lived in Wabasha at the time growing up for the most part. And it was like you were either – working at like one of the two things, like the hospital, doing, you know, just like dishes and stuff like that.
Right.
Or nursing home.
Right.
Doing like dishes and stuff like that.
Wipe them butt.
That was like the two main things that like a majority of like our grade school did.
Yep.
And I don't know, it just didn't excite me, and a lot of people loved it because they were with their buddies, you know.
Right, correct. Hanging with your friends.
But yeah, I was mowing lawns.
So right.
I was, you know, I'd go to all of our neighbors, I'd mow lawns. Mm-hmm. But then you find those neighbors that are like, hey, I need some extra help doing this. Like,
right.
Yeah, just charge an hourly rate. And you
right, exactly.
But so you always kind of find something to keep busy. And that's
what I did too growing up. You know, like I said, so my mom at the end of the day, she would have to call because I didn't have a cell phone. You know, back in the day, us kids didn't have cell phones until we got into high school. But I, you know, my mom had to call every neighbor to find who I was at night because it was dinner time. And here I was, like, and they couldn't find me. So she used to just call me her missing link all the time because
that's
of it,
hilarious.
You know. Yeah. So then as the years got older, you know, I worked at Pepsi. You know, obviously right after I got back from AmeriCorps, and I was always trying to find side gigs. You know, I bought my first house when I was 20. So I had to grow up really quick. You know, all my friends, they would party, they would work, but then they would party on the weekends. It just wasn't necessarily for me. You know, I looked long term. I can remember in high school, this teacher that I had, I was in a work experience class. And so I got paid to go to work, and then I got credit for going to work on top of it because I wasn't academically smart at all. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to find ways and how I could graduate and still maintain somewhat of a decent GPA or whatever they called that. Yeah. And so that was, you know, that was my way to get out essentially. And he asked me in high school, what's your 1 year, your 5 year, and your 10 year goals? And back then, I didn't know anything. You know, that's where I found my niche for disaster relief and firefighting and all that kind of jazz. But I, you know, since I bought my house and I was, you know, trying to figure my life out, you know, I was looking long term. What's my long term goal? Well, I want to be successful. You know, as a business owner, that's your number one goal. You want to be successful. Obviously, I have a passion for helping people. That was huge. You know, so I basically started naming off those goals that I had. And when I bought my house at 20, I had a broke down truck. My dad goes, do you want to buy a house or do you want to fix your truck? And I'm like, I can get a new truck. I don't even care. I said, I just want to buy a house. So then I ended up buying a house at 20. And here I am with a hefty mortgage payment every month trying to figure that out. And then honestly, I just grew from it. I struggled. I mean, when I tell you I struggled, I mean, I called my dad one day and I had, like, I think I was negative. I went to Quick Trip. I picked up a kickstart and a rib sandwich from Quick Trip and my car declined. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is not good, mm-hmm. you know? And my dad's a financial advisor. So he gave me the advice to help me through it, work through it. You know, and that was the other important thing that I appreciated in my life was I never got a handout. I've always worked for everything I've ever owned. You know, have I had some good advice? Definitely. I have a mentor. He literally helps me in anything I need, any questions I have, vice versa. He's old school. I'm new school.
When'd you get
So cut it back a little bit back into high school. I got into a little bit of trouble in ninth grade. I was not doing good academically. The transfer from middle school to high school, I wouldn't say it screwed me up. I went through a pretty rough patch of, you know, just mentally.
Yeah.
I struggled with my mental health really hard. I was failing in school. I got into a little bit of drugs. Just wasn't, you know, just fell down the wrong path is all.
Yep.
And so I ended up getting in trouble. And my mentor ended up, my dad knew him through work. Mm. And he was looking for somebody to shovel snow. As a, you know, just a you know, shoveler.
Yep.
And I was all about it because I'm like, yeah, I want to make money. And the first thing he said to me is, I heard you got into a little bit of trouble. And here I am, 15 years old, like, don't know this guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I did, you know, and I'm just trying to figure out my life and, you know, learn from my mistakes and what, et cetera, et cetera. Not rewind, but fast forward to now, I'm 29, so I was 15 when I first met him.
Wow.
And I would say, I mean, I talked to him almost daily.
Really?
Yeah, every day. They build playgrounds for St. Paul School District in the cities.
Yeah.
Back then, they did lawn care, snow plowing, playgrounds, landscaping, and everything. So I had a little bit of that landscape history back then even. And I worked for him for a couple seasons. We lost touch for 1 or 2 years. And then my house where I lived, my old house, was right across the street from his shop.
Oh, nice.
Or one of the shops that were across the street there. And so we got into touch again, and then we just hit it off. And I'm not going to lie, between my parents and, you know, obviously some significant others in the past and friends and everything else, that's pretty much what's formed me today. You know, my mentor, any kind of advice I need, any bad days, I mean, I can call and he'll walk me through it, you know. So that's been huge. I mean, to have... I mean, I'm sure you got those people too in your life, where you got somebody that you can look up to. To me, that's who I got. You know, I got, you know, as much as I probably don't admit it to some people, like my parents, like they've been there for me from day one. My mentor, same thing.
You need people outside of your parents, though.
Well, yeah. and that's exactly right, 100%. You know, and with that said, like I obviously, like a lot of kids, you know, when we were 15, 16, we're gonna want to hang out with our own age group. That wasn't me, and maybe that was why I was the odd duck in high school, and I didn't hang out with a lot of people, was because I always, like, you know, you go to a bonfire. There's two bonfires, one for the parents, one for the kids, right? Well, I was the kid that went to the parents. I didn't sit with all my own friends. I went to their parents. Because I was trying to take, you know, I was trying to take advice from them.
Yeah.
I was trying to learn early. Yeah. Like a lot of these people, and don't get me wrong, everybody's goals and everybody's thought process in life is different. Mine was, is I wanted to start young. I wanted to get ahead of life. I see so many people that are successful, but they're, you know, they're in their 60s and then they're finally enjoying it. Like my parents. My parents sacrificed everything that they had for us kids while they were young and then gave us what we needed in life to benefit us. Only to struggle. I mean, they struggled really hard for a lot of years. And I that's where I've learned that, you know, I didn't want that. My dad always told me, you want something in life, you'll work for it. And I've literally held that over my head for literally 20 years. And so now, you know, for my own kids and significant other in the, you know, in the future, you know, I want my kids to have that lifestyle where we don't have to struggle, but they can also teach a valuable lesson on life, you know, and that, to me, that's huge. So as a business owner, same thing, you know, am I perfect? God, no, I'm far from that. You know, there's still things as a business owner that I struggle with every day. Communication's a huge one and that I'm slowly working on, you know, but at the end of the day, I'm a one man band and I'm, you know, I'm the salesman, I'm the, you know, I'm the estimator, I'm the one that sends you your bid, I'm the one that deals with all your concerns, I'm the one that puts all the materials in, I'm the one on the job every day.
Yep.
You know, very, very, very minimal am I not on the job, at least, you know, once, you know, a couple times last year I was able to delegate a little bit, but I take everything so personal. You know, a lot of people, they just sweat it off like it's no big deal. That, you know, Karen's mad at something. She can wait till next week. That's right. Not me. Like, no. I'll call you at 10 o'clock at night and say, hey, what's the problem? How are we going to deal with this? You know, what are we going to do? Like, how can we solve this?
I think, too, like, that plays so much into reputation.
For sure.
Because, you know, if you stop taking care of people, and especially in like small towns,
correct,
like
your name gets around easily. Even in big towns. We're in Rochester. Yep. Everybody's like, Rochester's so huge. I'm like, I can't even go into Menards without seeing somebody I know.
Yeah,
you know, even a quick trip. A couple days ago, I was in a Chinese restaurant, just a little Chinese restaurant, and my cousin walked in the door. You know, so it's one of those things where you know, it doesn't matter who you are. My name is everything. Yep. You know, my business rapport and my business reputation is my life. You know, I dedicate 110% to my business. Like, there's, you know, I eat, sleep, and, you know, everything else in between work.
Yep.
Like, I'm passionate about what I'm doing, and I enjoy it. I mean, is there days I want to give up and quit? Oh, more than you would want to count. I mean, I've wanted to throw in the towel so many days. I mean, I've literally been on my front step, you know, bawling in tears because I didn't know how I was going to make it the next day.
Yep.
You know, a couple of years ago, middle of the summer, it was the busiest, you know, July is generally the busiest month of the year, right? And I'm sitting at a gas station filling up my trucks for that day, and my car declined again. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Like, I'm working 7 days a week, and I can't even put gas in my own truck. I'm literally working 7 days a week. Sun up, sun down. You're talking 12 to 15 hours a day.
Yep.
I'm just trying to make an honest living. And I about lost it. I was like, I didn't know what to do. You know, and that's the hard part with business is people don't see that, you know. I don't explain a lot of it because not everybody needs to know that your struggles. But at the end of the day, I think it is important as a business owner to show and express some of that. You know, everybody, like me, when I first started a business, I thought it was going to be like, this is easy. You know, I watched.
That's what most
people do, right? And don't get me wrong. Is there days that are easy? Oh gosh, yeah. There's plenty of days that are easy. But is there hard days? Is there days where loneliness? I mean, as a business owner, you know.
Yep.
You know, if money's not coming in and you're not generating some kind of income, I mean, the income's going to run out eventually. And so when I first started, like I said, I had nothing. I had absolutely nothing. I had the shirt on my back and, you know, obviously a house, but I just grew it from there. And then I took what I learned and I turned, you know, a penny into a nickel into a dime, and so on and so forth. But, you know, I might have lost a few pennies along the way just to try and figure out the steps on the business, you know, the business side of things. You know, so I took advice from my old boss or my mentor. I took advice from my my old landscape boss when I was working there. I'd ask him questions, but I just honestly I just started figuring it out. And you know, every time I would lose, I'm like, it's not a win or loss. It's a win and a lesson. You know, learned. You know, you screwed up on a job that you did. Hey, how can I fix this for the next person?
Yep.
How can I be more informational? How can I provide a better service to my customers? How can I give that 110% that they are paying for? And that's, I mean, sometimes that's how I sell a job. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, you're more money, but at the end of the day, we appreciate what you gave us with the excellence and the experience that you, the knowledge that you knew going in with it, you know, that's what sold us.
Yep.
I just got an email 2 nights ago. I couldn't believe it. I was starting to get a little nervous. It's early, it's spring. But, you know, they're talking snow in 2 days, you know, and I'm like,
talking a good amount of snow.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, we were like, you know, I was starting to get nervous because I was like, am I going to have a busy summer again? I always get nervous in the spring. And I've sent out, I don't know, a couple dozen quotes already. And I haven't, some I've heard back from, some I haven't. Some I've just, you know, have ghosted me, whatever, so be it. And this particular lady stood out and said, hey, you know, I gave her a bid last year for something, and she said, you know, we're gonna hold off for now because we're just not ready yet. No big deal, not a big deal. A year later goes by, she sends me another email. Hey, we'd like to go over that, you know, that bid again. Is that possible? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Went back over to their house, gave her some options. They were talking about Lexi looking at a house that day.
Yep.
And to go by, and I'm like, well, here I am bidding on a landscaping job and you're looking at buying a new house. I said, okay. I said, hear me out here. I said, look at your resale value. You know, you have no patio in your backyard. You've talked about putting a patio in. This is the second time I've been here. I said, let's get serious. I said, if you're going to spend this money to do this, you know, what's your resale value on your house? And to me, like, that's everything. You know, I said, we don't need to cut corners, but we can definitely, you know, chisel out something that isn't necessarily going to, you know, you don't need to go luxurious with it and go all out. Yep. If this isn't your long term, you know, we've already established that. But then how can we go from there and decide what's going to fit your needs of your house best, but also accommodate you guys now and for future owners to have and to appreciate? You know, to me, I'm a landscaper. So when I first impressions are everything.
Yep.
You know, I just bought a 15-acre farm, and that's all I can think about is everything I want to do to it outside, you know?
You've already been doing a lot.
I have. So, but that, to me, first impressions everything, yeah. Right? I walk into your office. I was blown away by it because of how much you guys have already done to it. And to me, in your industry, like, that's mind-blowing because you really care and you're compassionate of it, of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's how I am in my business. So for this homeowner, that's what I was trying to explain to her, give to her from the Lynx Outdoor experience.
You know?
And to me, that was huge. So,
dang.
Yeah.
So what, you know, I know you mentioned, because I think a lot of people starting out have been in a spot where, I mean, and starting out, like, that's not just first couple of years, that's a while that you could be working day in and day out, putting in the hours, but then you look at the balance sheet and you're like, what the heck's going on?
You work a lot more hours than you get paid for, I can tell you that right now.
But for you, what'd you kind of figure out and how'd you kind of combat that? You know, it's just for people that are doing that. I mean, that's something that's very real, is like, I keep working all the time and it's like, what the hell am I doing all this for? Because I'm barely scraping by still.
I mean, people always say that the first 5 years of the, like, that's what's going to determine whether or not you make it or not, right? So a lot of things that I've told my mentor was, give me 5 years. I said,
what year are you in?
I'm starting year four.
Okay.
So we, you know, and even some of my good friends, you know, yeah. I have a good friend who was also another business owner, and he's also been huge upbringing for me. Now he's a couple of years older than me.
Yeah.
So I told him the same thing. I said, dude, just give me 5 years. Yeah. Everybody's like, dude, you've been telling me that for a couple of years now, 5 years, 5 years. And I'm like, yeah, but give me 5 years.
Yeah.
He's like, well, he never asked that question that you just asked me, you know, what year are you in? Right. And I never really told him because I figured he would have known by then, yeah. you know, what year I was in. But I say 5 years because that's what makes it or breaks it. You know, when I tell you I'm 110%, I'm all invested. Last year, I spent over $1 million to be invested in my business. Mm. And when I tell people how serious I am, I mean, not that money is everything, because money definitely is not everything, because, you know, obviously we're passionate about what we do. But, you know, money obviously pays bills and so on and so forth. But that just tells you how committed I am. You know, so when I say 5 years, I mean, I'm all in. I mean, 5 years, I mean.
You have to be.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And to give, you know, so for me, like, yeah, like I said, there's days where I've been on that step, that front step, and I'm like, am I going to make it or am I not going to make it? You know, I have had, I'm not going to lie to you, I've had a great support system. Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody who is, whether they've shared my content on Facebook, whether it's been back when I was 12 years old, you know, I gave a farmer I made a business card when I was like 10, and he just gave it back to me. Just a couple of farmer down the road from my old house, and just gave it back to me. He goes, I think you should hold on to this. And I was That's just blown funny. Away that he still had it.
Yeah.
You know, so like I said, to me, it's given 110%. I mean, at the end of the day, you gotta, you know.
Do you think the internet paints a different picture for business?
It does. And you know, to me, a lot of people show the good, right? They don't show the bad and the ugly. Now, in the past, I have shown some of that, and I still might in the future, some of that stuff. You know, because like I said, it goes back to it. I think it's important.
Yeah.
You know, we're not perfect. I know you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You know, and that's where with social media, it's a love-hate relationship. You know, I'm on my phone a lot, like probably more than I care to admit, and everybody knows that. I'm always on my phone. I mean, I had another business owner said, how do you ever get anything done? I said, because my phone always rings, right?
Yeah.
And I take that phone call because a lot of business owners, they ignore it right off the bat. Yeah. And I'm like, no. I'll initially take the phone call and then say, hey, I'm in the middle of something right now, but if you text me your name and your number and all the information I need to know, I'll call you back within the next couple of days.
People lose a lot of work just by not answering their phone.
It's crazy.
We keep hearing that.
Yeah. Exactly. But at the end of the day, that's why I give 110%. So, you know, I got customers that have called me at 6 in the morning, and I have customers that have called me at 11 o'clock at night, and I'll take that phone call 9 times out of 10. Now, back in the day, was it a good thing, you know, being in relationships and stuff like that? Probably not. But that's the sacrifice that you give into your owning a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some businesses, nope, I'm 9 to 5. I shut my phone off. I completely understand that. You hit your peaking point at some point, right? You're like, you know what? It's Memorial Day weekend or it's Labor Day weekend, so on and so forth. We're out of here. My phone shut off. You know, I'll deal with it Monday. That's respectable. I understand that. But for me, like I said, I eat, sleep, and breathe work. So it's just another day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christmas, I work Christmas. Thanksgiving, I work Thanksgiving. It doesn't bother me none.
Mm-hmm.
The only day that I prefer to take off is on my own personal birthday.
Yep.
So, and I've only ever worked once on my birthday in my entire life, I think, once or twice.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, I mean, it's good that you kind of know what you want, and that's part of it too, is that's what gets you through a lot of the hard, you know,
And the mental side too. Like I said, you know, mental health, I've seen in the last, I don't know if you follow Aaron Biltwit.
Yeah.
You know, he's huge in the dirt world. And obviously I'm a nobody when it comes to the dirt world. I'm just a little guy.
Just getting started.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, somebody like himself, you know, being a huge role model in the dirt world, I see people like Elcor and some of these other bigger companies.
Mm.
And, you know, he made a post a while back about mental health and the struggles that, you know, us men or even women, you know, struggle with in life.
Mm.
And, you know, working through some of those phases. Now, me, myself, since I was a kid, I've struggled with, like, the mental health side of things. So, you know, being a business owner, like, you see it, I see it. You know, when something doesn't go right, you see those struggles.
Yeah. Well, you take it personally.
I completely take it personally.
Yep.
But then how do you handle that situation? You know, recently I was just in a funk for a month. I quit drinking.
Yep.
You know, I just passed 5 or 6 weeks of, you know, without drinking. Now, am I going to drink next week? Possibly. You know, I'm not, like, just counting the minutes down or nothing like that. But, you know, you just got to set yourself apart from your mistakes or things that you struggle with. And just physically work on them. You know, last year I struggled a little bit with my guys on communication. So this year my plan is to try and be better about that, you know. You know, there was nights where I go home and the only way to cope was to, you know, to make a hot cocktail. Mm. You know, you, after a long 15, 12-hour day, you know, a cocktail sounds nice, right? You got a steak in front of you, you make a mixie, and you call it a day, you know, and then you just smooth out. Well, for me, sometimes it gets out of hand, and, you know, I was just, you know, doing things that weren't great for my mental health, and, you know, so to try and, you know, like I said, the first rule of addiction or first problem that you have is admitting that you have something. Now, I'm not addicted to any of that kind of stuff. I can stop it whenever I needed to, but it's recognizing when there's an issue at hand and being able to
doing something about it.
Exactly. Yep. And now it still takes time to process it, too. You know, same thing with a job. You know, I've been to jobs where my guys are like, well, what do you want to do now? And I'm like, because something went wrong, right? So how do you deal with that situation? It's like, all right, just give me 10 minutes to process this. And then, you know, keep yourself busy for 10 minutes. I'll figure it out. And then we'll go from there. And, you know, as a business owner, you got to act. And you got to act fast, you know. Same thing with, you know, being productive and efficient. You know, you have all this gear in here. And, I've seen your guys' videos, and they're phenomenal, right? So, but you spend that money and invest your money into something that you're passionate about.
Yep.
And it's no different than my own business, because I do the same thing. A couple years ago, I bought a powered wheelbarrow. I've been laughed at more times than you can count for it. I'm here to tell you, I used a regular wheelbarrow last year 6 times or less. And, you know, when you're putting rock in your backyard, do you want to carry river rock that weighs God knows how much weight? You know, I put in hundreds of tons of river rock and any kind of landscape rock you can imagine.
I'll tell you a quick story about that.
Oh, yeah.
About wheelbarrows.
Okay.
When I was in high school, I worked for a landscaper, and we were on a job, and I did it for one season. It's one of the hardest things I've ever done. Yeah, I kicked my butt. But we were moving a bunch of rock from basically the driveway
to the backyard.
To the back. Yep. And, but he, we were in the, it was a pretty big yard. And the guy said, well, we're allowed to drive back there to just drop it off. So the foreman says, you know, all right, get in the truck, drive it back there, drop it off, and just scoop it out of the back. You know, I'm like, okay. Jump in the truck, it's a stick shift. I've never driven a stick in my life.
Oh boy.
At that point. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know how to drive stick. He's like, well, here's your truck. And he gives me a wheelbarrow. And he's like, have at her. So now I had to wheelbarrow all that stuff in the back.
All because you didn't know how to drive a stick shift?
Yep.
That was my first car, was a stick shift.
Yep.
And I didn't
I do it. Now, but it, yeah, didn't
back
didn't
then. But it makes you appreciate what you have. And like I said, for my you know, the hardest thing nowadays is the labor force, right?
Yep.
Finding good qualified people. Now, I recently posted a job posting, I've had 30 people call me. No BS. Like, I've had a lot of people call me. You know, I feel like everybody appreciates somebody who appreciates them. I try to give that to my guys.
Yep.
Now, am I perfect at it? Gosh, no. We're still working through those kinks. But, you know.
How many did you bring on?
I have three.
In your busy season?
I have 3 total.
3?
Yeah. And I have no intentions of getting any, like, much bigger.
Yeah.
You know, listening to a couple.
Well, for now, though.
Well, even that, though. Like, I'm too personal, you know. Maybe in the winter months, I would take on a few extras. If we're plowing
snow.
Or if we're plowing snow. But I have, like, I'm the opposite of some of these other bigger guys, you know. I always hear, go bigger, go bigger, go bigger, right? And so me, though, like, scale big, right? And that, to everybody, there's a will and there's a way. Mm. I don't want to. That's not why I started my business. I personally started my business small. You know, could I gain maybe 2 more guys? There's a possibility.
Yep.
But I don't want to get overwhelmed. Now, with 30 guys, you need to manage. And you got to have those people to manage it. to make sure that everything goes flawlessly. Right. Now, can you find the qualified people to do it? By gosh, you definitely can.
Yeah.
But to me, I lose my personal. I feel like you, in my own eyes, you lose a little bit of that personal touch. Now, you and your brother, there's a couple business owners. You guys can delegate. Say, hey, you're going to tackle A. I'm going to tackle B.
Yep.
Everybody's happy. You still get that personal touch.
Yep.
I'm a one-man band, man. So, and I thoroughly enjoy doing the work. Like, like I said, back then, I hated
it. You don't think you get to a point, though, where you don't want to be?
Honestly, not really. I don't think so. I really don't. And like I said, it's all on a personal level because – you know, can I still do the same job in 30 years? Yes or no? I still see guys all the time. I know a guy that...
Oh, I see it.
I see it all the time. They're running the dump truck. They're grabbing the shovel. To me, that's what makes you appreciate it. You know, if a 50-year-old guy is down in a hole, down with you in a hole, that shows you something.
Yeah.
That's my mentor. Yeah. He'll get down in that hole, and he'll dig that dirt with you. He has no problem with it. And that's what I see myself through. And he's got a small crew. He doesn't have a big crew. They tackle what they can tackle. Now this year they're very busy. So he said he might hire on a couple more guys. But I want my employees to look at a lasting career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to make careers out of it. And so if I were to scale super big, I feel like I'm not saying you still can't have a career, because you want your employees to grow, right? You want them to make more money. You want them to give more opportunities and obviously be more of an asset to your business.
Yep.
But I use that in a smaller scale. Say, hey, you go get your CDL. It's a step up.
Yep.
You've been with me now a couple of years. What is the lessons that you've learned from the time that you started to the time, one of my employees just told me that yesterday. He's just like, you know, when I first started, all I could do was run a shovel and a wheelbarrow. Now I know how to drive your excavator. Not that he knows how to do it well, but he still knows how to drive it. You know, same thing with a skid loader. He never knew how to drive a skid loader before. Now he can. You know, I'm not saying we'll use that asset on a day-to-day basis. Gosh, no. But those skill settings, taking that with you 10, 15 years from now, you know, it gives you your children or whoever that knowledge.
So you think you'll get to a point where you're big enough to where you're turning away work and just going, hey, no, this is where we want to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say I'm almost, I wouldn't say that I'm turning away work, but I definitely have turned away work before.
Yeah. And no, and people know the difference between obviously good and bad work that, you know, they don't want to get into.
For sure.
Saying like you're swamped.
Right.
It's where everything you've ever wanted, and then you're turning it away.
I've gotten picky, not only with my customers. I mean, will I bid anything? Gosh, yeah. Like, I'll go there and give them an honest bid, because that's why they called me. They got a referral from somebody for my services. Mm-hmm. You know, I will give them a number, whether they like that number or not. That is truly up to their budget. And that's what I tell people, too. You got to look at it long term. You know, I just went to a customer 2 days ago, and she wanted A, B, and C done.
Mm.
But they were talking about selling in 5 years. And I'm like, and then they wanted a deck on their house. And I said, whoa. I said, slow down. I said, you want a deck on your house for this purpose, but you want to sell your house in 5 years.
Mm.
But you also want a concrete patio right next to it. I said, pick one or the other.
Yeah.
Save some money. And then it goes back to selling your house again. You know, look at your investment, whatever.
Well, then they'll come for you on the next one.
Exactly. And so, but that's what I want. Like,
absolutely.
And I feel like some of these smaller business owners, too, they get to this like, I don't know, I'm trying, like haircut stylists or massage people. I feel like they get their general, you know, they build up their customers, you know.
Clientele base, yeah.
Exactly, yep. And then they get to a point where it's just repeated, services at that point. Now, I got customers that I've been working with since I first started, and they just keep calling me every year. They want something else done, or they have a friend, you know, and they refer me to their friend, and we look at it, you know. That's where I've just, you know, my season's busy, and some landscapers, they book out for a full season, and the season hasn't even started yet.
Hmm.
Will I get there? Maybe. Do I really care? Not really. I mean, the work comes as the work comes. If we have a fallback here where the recession hits or something like that, which is another reason why I don't want to scale big, I don't want to be like, hey, man, sorry, I don't have work. I got to let you go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not me. Like, that doesn't help me at all. To me, that makes me look bad as a business owner, because I gave them an opportunity to grow my business. But because, you know, we hit hard times, I got to let them go. Like, mm-hmm. that, to me, I don't
struggle with, though, the mentality side of, like, you know, the growth versus scarcity then.
You mean being scared of growing?
Well, no, you never want to be caught, like, you know, hindering, you know, yourself out of fear almost, because, you know, I'm just using the scenario of, like,
if that happens,
like, well, I don't want to get to this because if that happens.
I completely understand where you're going with it. I mean,
it's just a fine line.
I feel like it's also devil's advocate, you know. It's no different than COVID. COVID hit, and everybody's like, what do we do, right? Yeah. Everybody's panicking. I told my dad, if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. I hate to say it. But I guess there maybe is a little scarcity to it, too. But okay. I guess I'm just so personal with my – because I thought about hiring a salesman.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've gained so many people, like customers, from my personality.
Yep.
Now, is it a great personality? Not necessarily. You know, I can be
people
like
you
for the most part.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, like I am who I am, right? Yeah. I'm an open book, you know? So I try to be as open and as honest as I can with customers. If I don't see something that I don't like, I try to be upfront about it right off the bat. You know, I don't like to scare them, but I also like to be honest with them because, the honesty, I feel like it's going to go longer than anything, you know? But like I said, to grow big, there's more stress, there's more responsibilities.
What's the lifestyle that you're working for?
The lifestyle?
Yeah. Like you're working hard. You're going to keep doing it. What's the lifestyle that you're trying to achieve with all this?
Well, I can tell you I don't really want to be – I mean, I have nice stuff, mm-hmm. right? But I don't – and items isn't always, like, what gets you happy in life either. You know, to me, my goal was my house. Mm-hmm. Where I'm at now, that was not my end goal, but that was one of my big goals. I wanted to own a piece of land that I could raise my kids on.
Yep.
But the other thing too is my parents struggling all my life. My parents struggled to pay bills so that we could have a good education. They literally refinanced their house, I think, to literally put us through school. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that at all. I want my kids to know that, like, there's food on the table. Like, mom and dad don't have to worry about money. I've seen some of those, you know, you see the movies where, like, they express some of that. That's literally what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. That goes back to that five-year plan I had. You know, my five-year plan was just to feel like I felt accomplished. Mm. Now, will I still feel accomplished by 5 years? Probably not. I'm never done. But when the time comes where kids do come around, I want to be there for my kid.
Yep.
And, you know, that's where you get comfortable with your schedule, right? And like me right now, like last night, I was like, I'm gonna start getting done earlier. That was my goal this year. I'm going to try and get done. Not at 10:30, 11:30 at night, sending out bids for the next day. I still have 5 to type up yet tonight. And that's what I'm trying to get done with, you know? So if I can delegate and trust the guys that I have, the small group of guys that I have, to do more of that work hands-on, where I can work more on the backside of my business. I have a secretary that helps me out, and she has saved me more times than I can appreciate her. But if I can start working a little bit more on the backside, mm-hmm. and you trust those small group of guys that you have, and then I can delegate more. And then when the time comes, when you're raising your kids, that you can be there for those fun activities. You know, I have friends that have kids now that do that. That's my angle. Like, that's what I want. Like, I want to be able to just say, yep, it's Friday. It's a long weekend. Hey, boys, we're going to cut out at noon today. Enjoy your rest of your Friday. We're going to call it good. Mm-hmm. You know, not every year, being a seasonal employee, is there stresses about money? Of course, there's always stresses. But I'm trying to build up a lot of assets in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
You know, my mentor said it more times than I can count. He goes, where you are now is what took me 20 years to get.
Yep.
And that's what I'm trying to cut short of. You know, now life is precious. Life is great. You know, I could go tomorrow. Who knows? Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, my goal is to build something up where I can just be like, all right, I'm content. You know, we're at the farm. I want to build a pond. We're going to put fish in it. A couple of water features. It would be cool to, you know, maybe sell a couple of those ponds to some customers maybe. Mm-hmm. But it gives them, a customer, the feel, the vibe that I want to give. Yep. Like I said, when I walked in through your door today, it was the same vibe I, like, felt I should get.
Yep.
I want that same feeling at my house.
Yep.
So to me, it's just showing my passion, what I'm good and creative of with landscaping. It's you get to show that, you know. Mm. And like I said, from my 5-year to my 10-year goals down to, you know, back to my 1-year goals, you know, could that change in the next 5-10 years? For sure. Could I double my size and my people?
Yeah.
I definitely could.
Well, I think with the people thing, one thing that came to mind was just the – we had somebody even on, Julie was her name, and she made a comment about, you know, her employees obviously being a huge part of their company and, mm-hmm. and wanting success. To keep those.
Yeah, yep.
But to keep them, you have to continue to grow to give them those opportunities to grow.
Correct.
Into.
And I like I said, and I think I listened to that with Garrett too.
Yeah.
You know, growing, then you can pay them that $100,000 a year. Now, I guess it kind of goes a little bit back and hand in hand with some of the customers. Now, do we still do the smaller, you know, a customer called me yesterday about a small job.
Yep.
We've seen you've gotten into a lot of bigger work, but we're stressed out that you're not going to be able to take us on because you've gotten too big. Once a customer, always a customer. Like, I will take care of you no matter what.
Yep.
Even if I don't make much money on it, like, you're a customer of mine. I'll take care of you. But to me, that's another reason why I'm trying to grow, not fast, but trying, because I don't want to grow too fast. Because then when you grow too fast, the arrogance kind of catches up to you a little bit. And then you get, you know, a hard whatever you want to call it, and then you're struggling, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to grow fast, but I want to grow rapid a little bit. To the point where once the assets are paid for, now there's always that next thing that you want, right?
Right.
But it's going to slow down eventually. And it's already started to slow down.
Mine just gets bigger.
Well, mine does too within reason, but realistic.
I'm like, oh, like, this is great. Like, we paid these off. Like, I want that.
That's that camera's money. $10,000? Okay, let's go for the $20,000 one. You're not wrong, because there's always something else you want to buy.
Nope.
But, you know, that's where, like...
Well, that's where being content... I mean, that's where knowing where you want to get to is so important.
Correct.
Because if you want to keep growing, it's going to be that endless, you know, this...
You're always going to chase the dollar, right?
But if you know a spot where you can be content, then you're working to that and then trying to go, how can we, you know, grow this efficiently still?
Right.
But right. Not... Over.
And it goes back into, like, your employees, right? You're investing all this time and money into your employees. So for me... Right now, they don't see it. And I know they don't quite see it yet in my own eyes, but I'm looking long-term for them.
That's your job, though. You're the visionary.
Correct. So, but it's just trying to explain that now. Hey, guys, guess what? You're not going to make the top dollar now, but you. I realize what you're sacrificing. I know what you're giving up. I know what you're doing to benefit my own business.
Yep.
But I can guarantee you if you... Just do what I ask, and you give me the 110% that I ask, I will reward you when the time is right.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be 1 year. It may not be 2 years. It may take 5 years.
Well, it's a progression.
Exactly. Well, I mean, nobody. It's just like me. Back when I worked at Pepsi or back when I was working for my mentor, I was making $10 an hour shoveling snow. I thought I was making just gold,
mm-hmm.
you know? But that's where it makes you appreciate what you had back then to what you have now.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's kind of, it's not what I'm trying to teach, but it's trying to, like, give you those valuable lessons as a business owner to your, you know, not only to your customers, but then on the back side of things to your employees, you know. For me, you know, if you treat somebody right, they'll keep coming back, you know, and that's kind of how I look at my life. Now, am I perfect? No, by no means. But if you can fix some of those flaws along the way, mm-hmm. have a little bit of fun, make a little bit of money, you know, drink that whiskey or that cocktail,
yep.
you know, at the end of the day, and you appreciate what you have in life, like, that's, to me, that's all I need.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
What do you think makes you guys different?
I mean, I've said it sometimes in my videos and customer relations, a lot of it's personal.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, I found my niche with rock walls. Am I perfect, Adam? Have you know, in the last 3-4 years I've been in business, I've only had one rock fall out. And I think they did that unintentionally. I could be wrong, but either way, you know, finding that niche, I guess, what you're good at, you know, some people are good with communication. Some people are good at behind a camera. You know, I just feel like I'm starting to be good at landscaping. You know, we don't do a lot of certain things because we're not extremely good at them. So that's where I've found, I feel like my passion with some of these other small businesses. We all, like, we're not all against each other here, right?
Right.
You know, we all have an intent, obviously, to make money at the end of the day. Like, that's why we're in business. But how can we help each other? you know, whether it be a small thing or a big thing. You know, if I can help them out, yeah, I might have lost an hour of my time on my day, but at the end of the day, like, will they do the same thing for me? Like that to me is, I feel like that's what separates me from the bigger competitors. Mm-hmm. You know, because will that bigger guy come help me? Even the little guy, will the little guy come help me? You know, there's been plenty of other businesses where I've stopped what I was doing and go help them just because I care. You know, I want to see them succeed. I want to see them be successful.
Yep.
You know, there's like, we're in Rochester, dude. Like even Rochester alone, I've been up to Cannon Falls for work. I've driven 7 hours to go do some work before. You know, for the right person, I'll do that. Mm. But at the end of the day, like, there's plenty of work out there.
Yep.
You know, there's more fish to feed. You know, I hardly ever see my competitors out in the field.
Yeah.
Here, I mean, you see them on the highways, you see them maybe on big side streets, but you hardly ever see them in a back neighborhood. Hardly ever. Excuse me. But, you know, that's, like I said, if you can work hand in hand with them,
nope.
You know, I wouldn't say that's what separates me from everybody else, but knowing that I'm willing to, you know, take the shirt off my back to give it to, you know, to them, even if they won't do the same, I'll still do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because that's the person that I am.
Yeah, I mean, it shows your character. You know, there's obviously plenty of work. And
oh, for sure.
Some people are going to treat that different than others.
Right, and if it's not a great fit for the customer, then so be it. I can respect that. Mm-hmm. You know, if at the end of the day, if you're just looking at it for the cheapest bid, and I don't fit that qualification, I'm not going to have hard feelings over it. I really am not. Like, that's – I completely understand budgets. I completely understand timelines, you know, realistic timelines. You know, if I'm booked out to July but you have a party in June and you forgot about it last minute or something came up, I'm sorry, but I can't fit your needs.
Yeah.
You know, it's I'm sorry it didn't work out, but if you got a project in the future that I can help you with, so be it. Like,
yep.
Give me a call. Just try to plan a little bit ahead of time, you know? You know, the first year I was like, you know, we were only booked out a couple of weeks, and then it became a month, and then it became 2 months. So, you know, this year, depending on what the weather does, you know, I'm a couple of months out already.
Yep.
So as you get, obviously, as you grow bigger and older, you're going to have those seasons where you're booked out half the season and it's still snow on the ground. So, you know, but you just take it with a grain of salt and go from there.
Yep.
So.
Well, hey, as we kind of, you know, get closer to wrapping things up, I always like to ask, what are, like, things to you that you've learned over your journey, you know, in business? And I know it's, you know, you're still just getting started, but there's plenty that you've still learned over this, you know, these last few years even. What kind of advice could you pass to somebody that's listening that could be just starting or could be, you know, even further along but still just needs to hear this, you know?
Don't give up. I'm here to tell you, there's so many days where I've wanted to give up in the worst way. I just said, screw it all, but I just don't give up. You know, it's just, what is it, Edison or whoever did the light bulb back in the day, you know, he tried 100 times and failed before the, you know, 101 time he finally got it. You know, I've struggled through some jobs. I've lost money on a few jobs, significant amounts of money. And I look myself in the mirror and I'm like, there's always tomorrow, you know. Certain times of the year I get that way where I'm like, you know, I'm mentally struggling. But that's where it goes back to the people that you surround yourself with. If you surround yourself with good people, you know, whatever. And the other thing too is, even if you, let's say you did give up, right? And you go work for somebody, nothing says you can't start back up in 5-10 years.
Plenty of people have.
Exactly. You know, I had another business with my cousins. It didn't work out. Like, it just, you know, I still talk to my cousins.
Yep.
Like, I don't hate them, but it just didn't work out, you know?
Some people start 3, 4, 5 companies before they ever.
Right, and they're not, or they're not, you know, passionate about what they're doing. Like, you got to love what you're doing to really, like, and I get it. Some people are just in it to make money. But to me, like, I'm firmly passionate what I'm doing. So for anybody listening, you know, like, do what makes you happy. And that's another reason why I didn't go to school. Is because I'm not a firm believer that college is everything. If college is what's for you and you want to succeed by being a doctor or a nurse or whatever that skill level may be, a lot of times nowadays I feel like schools don't push the trades as much.
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm a landscaper. Like, yeah, I couldn't. My old boss went to horticulture school. Like, I'm sorry, but I didn't go to horticulture school. I didn't learn how to, you know, what plant species this is. But I just got good with machinery to the point where I was comfortable going on my own. And then once I gained those skill levels from working for somebody else, I would say, if anything, work for somebody else first.
Try
before
it.
Because, you know, they can teach you those skill levels. Now, they're going to value you as an employee and try and keep you around. And if it doesn't work out and you go on your own for them, it, you know, everybody wins and loses. But at the end of the day, I want to see my guys succeed. You know, so if that's what they want to do down the road, then so be it, you know. Mm-hmm. But give it a couple of years to learn like I did. You know, I gave my old boss 4 years. I really didn't want to leave, honestly. I enjoyed what I did for him. I didn't have the stress of paying the bills or writing the check or that expensive fuel bill at the end of the month. Like, I didn't have to worry about any of that, you know. But at the end of the day, I needed to make more money because my bills were high. So, you know, you have to do within your means. You know, if you like working your 9 to 5 and, you know, you occasionally go on one or two vacations a year and that's what you like, then do it. You know, me, I just wanted to make a little more money and not have to really worry about money. Now, I still worry about money every day. But once I get to that 5-year plan that I've always talked about, yeah, like, then I know, like, you know, then I can kind of glide a little bit, mm-hmm, you know. So for anybody that wants to start a business, go do it. You know, try it out. If you fail, There's always next time, mm-hmm, you know, there's always a way to improve. You know, I started from the bottom. I worked my way up. I started from the bottom again. I worked my way up. You know, am I running a shovel every day of the week? Gosh, no. But will I? I definitely will. Mm-hmm. You know, I shattered my windshield out of my skid loader a couple of years ago. Guess what? We were plowing snow. I plowed snow for 2.5 hours without a windshield on just to show that I'm, you know, I'll do it.
Yep.
I don't want to do it, but I'll do it.
Yep.
So, you know, but if you're going to go in, if you're going to start your own business, just give 110%. Mm-hmm. If you don't give 110%, you know, that's where you will fail.
Yep.
That's where you won't succeed, and you got to give the 110%.
You got to go all in.
That's right.
Yep.
All in or all out.
Well, hey, man,
I appreciated
your time. And
yeah, thank you.
Doing the pod.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a blast. I know we could keep ripping and talking for probably another hour.
Yeah, I probably could, but
yeah,
should probably get back to work.
No, it's been great, and yeah, I hope. I'm excited. You know,
yeah,
keep watching you guys.
Likewise,
grow and, you know,
yeah,
seeing
big
more and on, and what's going to keep happening. So
yeah, no kidding.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, likewise.
And as always, guys, thank you so much for tuning in this week. If you learned something or if you enjoyed this, keep sharing it out. We want to get more and more people on. We're excited for the future. We're just getting started on this podcast, and we got a lot of cool stuff coming out. We'll see you on the next one.